Welcome to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is committed to the preaching of Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the justification of the sinner by grace through faith for Jesus' sake. And now a sermon from Pastor William Swirla of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church.
In the name of Jesus, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, baptism, right there in the first three verses of Genesis, the opening verses of the Torah, the beginning of the Bible, right there, baptism. Water, word, and spirit. That's what makes a baptism. So you might rightly say that light and life are the result of the whole world being baptized in the beginning. And you would be correct in saying that. And then you would also understand what Jesus meant when he said to Rabbi Nicodemus that one must be born from above by water and spirit in order to enter the heavenly kingdom. One must be born spiritually from above. One must become a new creation by the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. One must be washed with water and the word in the spirit, because where water and word and spirit are, there is order. And there is light and life and creation. It's easy to overlook that critical watery point in the first chapter of Genesis. We're usually busy defending 6 days of creation, and we miss the fact that everything, the heavens and the earth, that is the entire cosmos, everything was created in that instant called the beginning. Light and life came through water and word and spirit. The Bible begins with baptism. And so today we celebrate another beginning, the baptism of our Lord. The day our Lord Jesus Christ stood before his cousin John in the Jordan River and submitted to John's baptism. It's a little bit of a chronological leap that we just made. 2 Sundays ago, we were celebrating the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. Last Sunday, we celebrated his name and circumcision. On Friday, we got together to rejoice in the visit of the Magi and the star that appeared to them when Jesus was just a toddler, no more than 2 years old. If this were a movie, this would be about the place where the writing appears on the screen that says 30 years later, because that's what it was. 30 years later, Jesus stands in the Jordan River in front of his cousin John, the baptizer, standing elbow to elbow with repentant sinners who were there to confess their sins. Initially, John wanted nothing to do with this. This stood against everything that John had been preaching. John said that the coming one was so mighty, so great, that John was not worthy to stoop down and even to untie the thongs of his sandals, what the lowest slave would have done. He said, I baptize you with water, but there is one coming who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, far greater than I am. And then comes that coming one, Jesus, standing before John, bowing his sinless head like a penitent, standing in the water, waiting to be washed in what was a bath of forgiveness. Jesus stands there in the water, next to tax collectors, prostitutes, rejects, all manner of sinners, you name the sin. And he stands there in the water as though he himself is one of them, because in the water he is one of them. John is outraged. Mark doesn't record the outrage, but Matthew does. John says to Jesus, no, you, cousin, you've got it backwards here. It's upside down. It's all wrong. I need to be baptized by you. You're the greater one. I'm the lesser one. I need to be baptized by you, but you're coming to me. This is all wrong, Jesus. Let's get with the program here. This is not how a respectable Messiah is supposed to behave. So now you get up out of the water and you go back to dry land and you hope nobody sees this, okay? Because if they do, they're going to get all the wrong ideas about you. This is no way to start a religious revolution, you getting baptized. So get that out of your head right now. And Jesus answers John with this very, very telling sentence that explains exactly what's going on in this baptism. Jesus said this, "Let it be so for now, John." Let it be. Literally, let go of it, John. Let go. Let go of any notions that you have of who I am or how I'm supposed to do my work, because it is fitting. It is proper. It is the right thing for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. This is how it goes down, John. I get baptized like a sinner in your baptism. I become sin for you, for all these people here in the water with me, for the whole world. I become sin. This is how all righteousness is fulfilled in me. And John consented. The sinless Son of God is baptized as a sinner in order to fulfill all righteousness. In a world that lives in denial, among people who insist they have no sin, Jesus comes to be treated as though he was the worst imaginable sinner in the world, our collective sin. It's going to be that way all along. It has been. From his birth, his circumcision, his presentation in the temple when he was 40 days old, and now here, 30 years later, in the water of the Jordan, Jesus is walking our walk. The way of the penitent, the way of a sinner in need of forgiveness. This is how he fulfills all righteousness. The sinless one becomes our sin, so that in him, baptized into him, we might become the righteousness of God. Now, before we go to our baptism, let's stay in the Jordan River for a while with Jesus. There, at that moment, a new creation dawns. Water, the Word incarnate, the Spirit descending, all the ingredients are there. It's a creative moment. The chaos of sin is ordered by the forgiveness of sins. The Spirit hovers over the water. The Son, who is the Word incarnate, is immersed into the depths of our death itself. The heavens are ripped open violently, and the Father's voice speaks from heaven and says, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." That's an event. That's a new creation, the dawn of the new creation right there. The beloved Son is the beloved servant of Isaiah, the one who suffers for the sins of the people. "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed." That's what the Father meant when he said, "This is my beloved Son. This is my servant in whom I delight, the one who came not to be served, but to serve and to lay down his life in order to fulfill all righteousness." Jesus' baptism lays a cross on him. Later on, Jesus said this, "I have a baptism to be baptized with. And how great is my distress until it is accomplished, until it is finished." His baptism as a sinner among sinners in the Jordan River takes him to Calvary and a cross, where he dies bearing the sin of the world in his own body. For this he was anointed by the Spirit, visibly and tangibly. For this he was approved by the Father who sent him. This is his Father's delight, that his sinless Son should stand in solidarity with sinners in order to save them. And when he dies, the curtain of the temple is ripped violently in two from top to bottom in the same way, and with the same word that the heavens were torn open at his baptism. It is finished, it is accomplished, all righteousness is fulfilled in his death. Baptism brings the cross and all that the cross will bring to bear upon him, and also you. You, steeped in sin, you condemned by God's law, there is no way in this world you can save yourself, nor is there any hope that you can improve yourself to the point where you are acceptable to God. You and your superficial rehab, forget about it. Your righteousness cannot fulfill all righteousness. In order for you to enter the kingdom of heaven, your righteousness under the law must exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, and rest assured, it does not. You must be perfect, complete, holy in every way, even as your Father in heaven is perfect and holy. Not simply on the outside, not one day a week, but also on the inside, 24/7, not only in action, but also in word and thought. You are born in Adam's sin and held captive to it. So am I. You are born a prisoner of death that turns your life and you into what only could be described as formless and void. Dust. Dust you are. Sin is our Lord and Master by birth. And no matter how free we may think ourselves to be, the fact is that we are held captive to sin. And we cannot free ourselves even if we wanted to. It is for this that Christ came. For this he was baptized. For this he died and rose. He was baptized into your sin so that you might be baptized into his righteousness. He was baptized to become the sinner in this world so that you might be baptized a sinless saint in his kingdom. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Paul asks. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death. You should underline that, circle that, highlight it, memorize it. By baptism were you joined to Jesus. Don't overlook that. It's always easy to overlook the water. Baptism is the active agent here. Anyone who says that baptism is some symbolic religious ritual that we do to show our commitment to Jesus needs to run all of that past this verse in Romans. By baptism, you were joined to Jesus in his death. By baptism, you were buried with him. Sin is drowned in the forgiveness of sins, and you, through water and word and spirit, are born anew from above, made a new creation in Christ Jesus, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, you too might walk in newness of life as a new creation, a new you in Christ. That's what baptism does. The Apostle Paul goes on to say that our old self, the old Adam, was crucified with Christ, so that the body of sin might be brought to nothing. You have been declared legally dead to sin. Your baptism is like your death certificate for the old Adam. Time of death, whatever time you were baptized, it's done. As far as God is concerned, you are legally dead to sin, but you are alive to him in Christ. Now, mind you, this is a forensic act. An act of God's word, a judgment laid upon you. Your old Adam is still very much alive, so he must be daily drowned and daily die, mortified, drowned in forgiveness, and a new man, a new you, who you really are in Christ, must daily rise up to live before God in the righteousness that Jesus has given you. God has declared it to be so. God says it is so. Just as when he says, be light, and light there is, so also you must consider yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. That's what it means to live baptismally. That's what it means to live as one who is baptized into Jesus Christ. You must reckon yourself, consider yourself, think of yourself daily and constantly as dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. Yes, you do sin daily, frequently, often, all the time. That's true. Your old Adam is still alive and kicking. But as St. Paul reminds us, it's no longer you who do it, but sin that dwells in you. Drown that damned thing in baptism. And I use that word advisedly. When your sins trouble you and they oppress you and they cause you to doubt, you say with Luther, Danach! Learn a little German. Danach! Nevertheless, I am baptized. That's your confidence. The water of creation's deep, the water of Jesus' baptism, the water of the font of your baptism, so easy to overlook, to diminish, to make something less of it than it actually is. But where water and word and spirit get together, you watch out, because great things happen, creative things happen, the heavens are ripped open, the Father voices his approval, the Spirit descends, light and life and order are spoken, a new creation comes into being. If anyone is in Christ, Paul says, he is already now as we speak a new creation. Behold, the old has gone, the new has come. And how do you know that you are part of it? How do you know that you are in Christ? How do you know that you have his righteousness? How do you know that you have the Spirit and the Father's approval as his child? How do you know that heaven is opened to you? One simple answer. You are baptized into Christ. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 15710 Newton Street in Hacienda Heights, California, and on the web at www.htlcms.org.